You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like that dude just said, yep, this show is indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, we're doing a section right now I call Meet the Candidates, all right? So the last piece of the Triple Dipper we just did, section one there, I just called it hashtag AL Politics, and my friend Stephanie Smith helped me to break down all the things that are happening and truthfully not happening in Montgomery. But right now what I want to do is something that I've begun over the last couple of weeks and will continue on in the weeks to come, is going through who are the candidates, and I want you guys to meet the candidates. It's important that you know who's running. And I'll just tell you right now, some of them are running against incumbents that have a lot of money. Some of them are running for open seats. But the truth of the matter is, every candidate in the races that we have going on right now is going to be on your ballot, and you're going to have to make some choices. Better to hear from them now while you have a chance. So coming up right now, glad to have coming on the phones with us here, is Sheila Bannister. She's a Madison businesswoman who announced her campaign for Alabama House District 4, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the one currently held by Parker Moore and includes parts of Limestone and Morgan counties. She's been a business consultant. She's also been very involved in local fundraising or charitable organizations like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Junior Achievement, United Way, things like that. And so we're glad to have her on the show as right now. Sheila Bannister, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I hope I got your introduction right. Is there anything about who you are as a person or a candidate that I left off?
Well, I think that's a really good summary. One item just to make note of on my district is that with the redistricting, District 4 now has part of Madison County as well.
Okay.
So it's just kind of shifted kind of northeast. And so it does include that. And I guess some other things to know about me personally is that, you know, I've been very involved in the political scene here in Alabama. And, you know, that's kind of what my involvement there and the things that I've learned and the things I've tried to help promote for change is kind of what's led me to this journey to run. In my professional career, in consulting, I focused on change management, helping organizations make hard changes within their organization. And I think now more than ever, we really need to look at some serious changes in how we run our state. And if we want a fruitful future, especially for our kids.
Well, so let me ask you, Sheila, am I correct? Parker Moore is running. So you're running against the incumbent, correct?
I am.
Okay. And so I had somebody on the show Monday with a similar conversation, and I asked that guy, I said, I have a long time theory that if you're running against an incumbent, it's for one of two reasons. Either A, you think they're not doing a good job, or B, you just want their job. So tell me, and I'm not espousing anything about Parker Moore. I'm asking you, if he's a Republican and so are you, what differentiates you? Why would you choose to jump in the race and run against someone of the same party in a primary?
Right. Well, the main thing is I lean towards more of A. You know, everything I've heard about him, he's a really nice guy. But I'll be real honest, you know, I haven't seen Parker Moore in Limestone County amongst the people at all. And one thing that I think that we really lack in District 4 is leadership. And transparency, you know, people going down to Montgomery and representing the needs and the wants of the people in District 4. And, you know, Parker Moore, I think, has sponsored maybe 11 pieces of legislature. And I'm not necessarily talking about him, you know, signing on to something as a co-sponsor where he just basically signs his name. But in the last 4 years, he's done four. And of those pieces, you know, none of those are really top priority things. A lot of them are on, you know, AV, off all terrain vehicle specifications and things like that. And, you know, I know you've talked about this a lot. A lot of people are talking about how horrible our education system is, dead last. One of the things he said he was going to work on is education. And yet what has he done? And so it's just a combination of those things of not seeing him, not feeling being represented, not really feeling like we have a strong leader that represents our district has led me to this place.
Okay. And you know, I'm looking right now as you're talking, I'm looking at an article on Yellowhammer that came out, I guess, last November, actually, when you announced your candidacy. And you said that the issues that you felt like you wanted to focus on were education, which you just named that, prison reform, small business, mm-hmm. and constitutional rights. So in the realm of education, you're right. We're dead last. I talk about it on the show all the time. What would you like to see done differently, whether it be legislative or budget processes or anything else for that matter, if you were to get a chance to go down there and be Representative Bannister?
Yeah, so there's several things, because we didn't get this problem in one day or one year, and so there's layers of problems within our educational system. And so one of the things that I want to do is really need to get back to the basics of focusing on fundamental education with reading, writing, math, and science, and letting teachers teach those things. And we need to look at, I'm a huge advocate for school choice because, you know, being in the business world, I've never seen where competition brought into the situation doesn't make everything and everyone better. And I think education is a prime place that needs that right now. I also think that we need to do more in empowering parents and being part of the solution. I hear legislators talk about, well, parents aren't doing their job. Well, has a parent ever been told by an educator what the educator thinks their job is? Are we clarifying what we need from parents? Parents need to come to the table and be part of the solution. And finally, you know, as far as the money goes, we have record-breaking budgets and surpluses. The governor said in her State of the State address in January that education was Alabama's number one problem and money wasn't going to solve it. But when I look at the current legislation and budget approval process, really that's all we're dealing with is money. We're giving people raises. We're allocating money to hire people to teach our teachers how to train. We need to find out why our teachers don't know how to train. Why don't they know how to teach our kids how to teach math?
Well,
those are some of the things that I want to do.
I completely agree. And there's a complete lack right now in Montgomery of those who are willing to be creative about education that doesn't involve dollar signs. They'll find a creative way to spend more money, but they're not finding a creative way to innovate the processes of education itself. And I think we're going to have to get back to that. You and I met not long ago at an event where I was a speaker, Alabama Policy Institute and Right Side Radio. We're hosting that event up at Bird on the Mountain. You were there that night, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
The focus of that particular evening was on the discussion of liberty. And I noticed that you say on your article here on Yellowhammer that constitutional rights is something that you want to see defended. You know, some would say, okay, constitutional rights are a federal issue. But I can just tell you, as a state senator, they come into play all the time in state defense of those constitutional rights. Is there anything in particular that you want to see or do if indeed you're elected?
Well, I'd really like to see us do more about health freedom. So, you know, with the pandemic, we saw a whole new area of liberty being infringed upon. And not only at the federal level, but also at the state level. And while I know that the legislature in their special session in last year passed a few bills, I don't feel like those bills really gave meat to an individual to be able to do anything about their freedoms being infringed upon. And I feel like, you know, if you're going to go out and say, yeah, I defended the people of Alabama, you know, through the legislative process, we need to at least provide them, you know, some teeth that they can do something about it so they can sue an employer or someone where they've been discriminated against. And I know there was a bill, and I can't recall the number right now, that was up this legislative session, but I don't think it really got anywhere. But that's something that I would like for us to look more on. I mean, constitutional carry finally got passed, which there for a while wasn't sure if it was going to or not. So I was glad to see that. But, you know, just being a defender of both not only the U.S. Constitution, but the Alabama state constitution as well. Like, that's one of our responsibilities. And I would argue that that's one of the main priorities of a government, is to defend individual rights.
A great word. So let me ask you this, in about the minute or so we have left, I notice in your bio that you are a mother and a wife, and I can just tell you from personal experience that we used to call this my full-time, part-time job being in the state legislature, and my wife had to be every bit as much on board as I was because it winds up becoming a family event. How's your family feel with all this?
You know, they're really excited. I mean, as this being our first time, we kind of am not sure what all the sacrifices are going to need to be made. But this isn't our first time sacrificing. My husband is a retired lieutenant colonel of the Air Force, and we've sacrificed during his deployments. And we talked about this a long time. We prayed about it. We talked with our family, and we're prepared to make the adjustments that we need to make this happen and for us to do. You know, it's just another opportunity for us to serve our neighbors and the state of Alabama if I'm chosen to elect District 4. And so we're ready to take on that challenge.
Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate your husband's service. And I would just encourage you, too, if you get elected, and you know, it sounds like you've got a great campaign going, the family can be as much a part of it. You know, take your kids with you to Montgomery sometimes and all that. Make them a part of it, and they will engage the processes with you. So, hey, Sheila Bannister, thank you so much for spending time with us. This is an opportunity to introduce you to the listening audience. We appreciate the fact that you're getting involved and you're getting your name out there, and we wish you the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. All right, Copper, take us to a break. Folks, these interviews that I'm doing right now, they are designed to be introductory. I mean, at no point should I bring someone on for their very first interview to talk about I'm putting my name out there and make it a gotcha moment. But I'm going to tell you right now, we got a lot of people that have chosen to get in the fray, and we need more of them. So, folks, if you're a constitutional strict constructionist, somebody who believes in liberty, somebody who believes in the rule of law, somebody who wants to see better for the state of Alabama, somebody who believes your community might be best served by you getting in the fray, love to have you get in there. All right, folks, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.